the 8th episode in the gospel to check in on a global family of creatives, thinkers, and overall mavericks during the era of COVID-19 has spread far and wide.
Accessibility is a really big deal right now because in Algeria, of course, they shut down schools, you know, with like lockdowns and stuff, but it's kind of like pushed back the country by so many decades.
Checking in has held the belief that a shared humanity is a source for stories far more gripping than the escalating numbers of infections and mortalities. In our case, the crusade has been to highlight existential concerns and how that intersects with the already cliched phrase, the new normal.
Most of the people also, they don't have work anymore because for all the freelancer, all the independent workers, they don't have work anymore. So it will be, I think, a complicated situation after the crisis.
Now, aware of our fragility as the human race, the idea of us being an apex species has come into question. The irony is that we realize that we are at the mercy of a cluster of DNA with a protein coat around it. Simply put, a virus. I am Kagiso Mnisi and this is Checking In. On this episode of Checking In, we look at what it means to organize, to be responsive using strategy and tactics in dealing with COVID-19. Somewhere between putting up a framework in place, whether at the level of healthcare or government, there exists the story behind that process. A character well placed in threshing out that story can be none other than analyst and think tanker Maodo Jallo, a son of Gambia by birth, and now resident of Accra, Ghana. Jallo typifies what resourcefulness can yield. Involved in an array of pursuits, Maodo is sure on a crusade of rebuilding the Gambia. His new nation venture serves as a function of doing precisely that. And yes, there's a backstory to it all.
New nation is this idea that young people are the best advocates for the rights and the hopes and the wishes of other young people, right? So it's this idea that we need to occupy spaces that will allow us to impact youth development, you know, as young people in the Gambia. So I basically came up with this idea that I'd get together a group of young, passionate, but smart young Gambians who can come together and, you know, make change. So that evolved into what New Nation is now, which is an organization that really works on three main areas, I would say. So one is education. So we're very big on working in career development, especially in the areas of STEM. So science, technology, engineering, math. The second thing we do is advocating for women's rights. So young women's rights in the Gambia. And the third thing is general sort of charity work and helping with the biggest issue of the day. Recently, in terms of the international scene, it was mainly because of the fact that, you know, Gambia was going through this transition from autocracy to democracy, right? And we moved away from a leader who was in power for 22 years. And a lot of people were shocked by it because there are not many examples in the history of the world where an autocratic leader that had been in power for more than 20 years, you know, was removed through a democratic process, right? So it intrigued and really surprised a lot of people. And it gave us quite, you know, it was good publicity and it was great. I was really proud to say, you know, I'm from the Gambia and this is what happened in our country, which is unprecedented, you know, truthfully speaking. So I think that's what put us on the map. And then since then, it's just been this intrigue of finding out sort of what's going on since that transition happened.
Accra, Ghana as his current base, Maodo has observed how this part of the continent has done the scientific legwork, so to speak.
A lot of people around the world have, you know, applauded the efforts of the Ghanaian. And actually, in Africa, we're second as the country that has done the most tests, you know, and that's a critical part of dealing with COVID-19. I mean, you need to know who has it, And then the implications of knowing who has it are huge, because then you can plan, you know, you can do things like case management. You can plan around contact tracing, among other things. So really the fact that, you know, we managed to organize ourselves and procure that many test kits and actually do these tests and record them in a meaningful way has really, you know, put us in a good position to be able to deal with this. And now, you know, for a lot of people, they were nervous because the cases were going up and we weren't seeing a lot of recoveries. But, you know, as of right now, the latest figures are that recoveries are over 2,300. And as you know, the recoveries always lag behind. So, you know, we're still seeing a huge number of people being asymptomatic, right? And not needing to be hospitalized. So that's a good sign, you know, because it means that they're likely to recover and not, you know, unfortunately, die from the disease.
With the grand strategy, there is the how-tos or tactics to pull it off. Add to that an army with differentiated skill sets.
And it's not just with Ghana. I think around the world, we've seen places like New Zealand, places like Mauritius, you know, places like Taiwan. What all of these places have in common is that they have been decisive in their actions. Number two, the leadership has been able, so smart, thoughtful leadership with empathy. So that's number two. And then number three, I would point to sort of taking the bull by the horns in a way and having an effective state apparatus to get things done. So it's one thing having good leadership. It's another thing having, you know, taking decisive action. But if you put out the orders and your team or your foot soldiers, if you will, can't carry out the order, then you're in trouble. So it's a combination of all these different things.
Evidently a marker in human history, COVID-19 has in its own way seized a notable chunk in a timeline. Life is now seen in before and after terms. And in our case, life pre-COVID and life during COVID.
Pre-COVID, I was working as an analyst in the project, the Tony Blair Institute, actually, which is why I moved to Ghana, mostly working with the Ministry of Trade and Industry on just that, trade and industry. So looking at trade analysis, you know, using data to create insights that the ministry can use, and then also looking to encourage and support the industrialization agenda. So trying to get companies to set up shop in Ghana, both domestic investors and international investors. So that's what my job was initially. So then COVID hit, and initially it was sort of work from home, let's see what we can do. You know, it's going to be difficult to do the investment side of things because not many people are looking to invest at a time like this. But let's see what we can do. And then I got a call from my boss. I was at home in my pajamas, you know, working, replying to emails and so on. And I get a call and, you know, he says, hey, look, I just got the green light for us to work on COVID-19 response at the presidency in Ghana. So I jumped up, obviously, and said, hey, you know, this is exciting. So I've never gotten, you know, dressed and I think I was in the shower for maybe 30 seconds, you know, ran out, got dressed and got in my car and drove over there. And the rest has been history, as they say. You know, it's been a great, great, great experience, you know, working on developing briefings that end up being used by the cabinet or the president himself, you know, working on strategies for the response.
In a time when we are bombarded with challenge after challenge amid COVID-19, how we engage and respond will without a doubt be recorded on this generation's scorecard. Furthermore, our tactics will highlight whether we make the grade or not as a species. I am Kagiso Mnisi, and this has been Checking In.